Hello, beautiful people. This is Nick back with another exciting LMAYT podcast. We got a little bit of a special edition today. I have all the way joining us all the way from Los Angeles, Adrian Thomas, an LA-based casting assistant and aspiring casting director. She is also my sister. So, living out on the West Coast, she's been familiar with through the Colin Kaepernick, situation, and I know I spoke about it briefly two podcasts ago, but Adrian, you know, you and I had a conversation that about it. I want to say maybe a week and a half ago that made me want to sort of, you know, bring up the conversation again with Kaepernick so that. Maybe we can flesh it out and talk about it in a little bit more detail. So, got Adrian here. Jonathan will not be joining us today, but we are going to try to tape another podcast tomorrow before the Titans Raiders game, and then do a post game podcast in the next day or so. So, anyway, Adrian, are you up there?
I am here. Yes.
Okay. All right, excellent.
I wasn't sure if you wanted me to kind of recreate our conversation from about a week ago about how I even know who Colin Kaepernick is since I don't follow football.
Well, yeah, go ahead. I think that that'd be, I think that makes it even more interesting because when I spoke to you, when we spoke on the phone, you were pretty fired up about. About the situation and sort of
Correct.
People's reactions to it. And I think it makes it even more engaging since you know, you don't follow football.
I agree. Yes. We just, we had a mutual friend of ours. And I mean, I know you get tons of, you and I both get tons of just different social media outlets that we can kind of choose from. And we had a mutual friend who, I think I kept seeing he's mainly loves sports enough to where I see it on my feed, and I know it's him because he's the only one I think that I follow that he follows so much sports. So he kept kind of bringing up a couple of Colin Kaepernick articles, but his comments were always just, who cares? Question mark. Who cares? Who cares? And I think after like the third or fourth who cares and then this Colin Kaepernick article, I realized, I was like, I care. I'm the one who cares. You should care about what's going on. I don't know. And then you kind of talked me down a little because I was like, should I confront our friend and be like, I care. I think my brother cares. I think my father cares. You should care about what's going on and why he's taking a knee. And you kind of talked me down a little and was just like, maybe he's talking about the fact that this shouldn't be news and this should be more of a talking point so that he can get back to his football and get his football information and not necessarily of like why people have an issue with him taking a knee and going that route. So that's kind of how that conversation started.
Right, yeah, because you sent me a text about it and then I called you. And then from there we just had, what, maybe an hour conversation just kind of, talking about Colin Kaepernick. We talked a little bit about the election. I mean, it was very wide ranging, conversation.
It was interesting because you're right. Our parents came out here to visit, and I kind of sat them down. My husband and I sat them down, and it was just like, what should we be doing on social media? To show kind of our support or like where we stand. I know that's very taboo, especially from our parents' generation of like, don't talk about politics in the workplace. Don't talk about religion in the workplace. Just, everyone just get along kind of thing. And I think I think we still do that, but not necessarily if we follow our coworkers or our friends online and then you kind of see where their political standpoint is, especially with this election. So the fact that I even know who Colin Kaepernick is and why he's doing this, I think it's very important for me, and I'm actually glad he did this because I wasn't sure if I was that. I know people are making history right now with Black Lives Matter movement, and I never really thought of myself necessarily as a physical protester. Should I be going out there on the front lines and you know, scream to the high heavens about like the injustice of the world? And then Colin Kaepernick kind of came around, and I was like, oh, this is very peaceful. This kind of speaks a little bit more on my volume of like how I want to protest. And then I was like, should I start going to a game, or where can I like take a knee for a national anthem? I'm not sure. And then I thought, no, I can support Colin and support this injustice that I feel is happening by buying his jersey, by actually figuring out who this guy is and being like, oh, maybe I should watch a football game. And it's kind of crossing me over to a little bit more just being a football fan. And my husband's on a fantasy football team, and I was like, do you have Colin on your team? And he's like, I think it's like a second.
Yeah, you know, that would not be a good idea to have him on your fantasy football team.
And then, you know, so I'm learning a little bit more about him and as a football player and everything. And I think also it's an election year. We just got off of Olympics high, so I was all about, like, athletes and that kind of thing, patrioticness of it all.
Well, it's interesting because when I did my podcast, you know, I knew a little bit about you know, the situation, but I don't think I'd read as much maybe as you had on it, because I did a 15-minute, almost an in-between episode, very short one where I kind of talked about Kaepernick from a rhetorical perspective, like looking at the logos, ethos, and pathos of it, the ethos being his credibility, the pathos being what was the emotional response he was expecting to get? What was he trying to get people to then do after seeing him take a knee?
Right.
And so, I don't know. You enlightened me on some things that I didn't know about it. In that he's given interviews, you know, maybe that clarify his stance on it. Right. Biggest thing was, you know, like in literature, a symbol can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. You know, a metaphor is a one-for-one representation, and any flag is a symbol, which means it may mean something different from me than it does to you. And if he adds a symbolic gesture to that symbol, then that's another ambiguous thing that, again, means different things to different people. And so, I mean, one of the things I addressed was, okay, so what is he trying to say by doing that?
Right.
Because his initial quote was, standing up for oppressed people. But even, like, what does it mean? You could even argue, what does it mean to be oppressed? You know what I mean?
Right, because, and I remember telling you that, I mean, they dissected every single word that he said with every single interview. Especially his not so happy, I guess, fans. I don't know what the reporters and stuff who aren't necessarily on his side with this tried to dissect what he said. And he's very articulate about and very specific about not saying BLM or Black Lives Matter movement. He was very particular about talking about witnessing videos and injustice that's going on in the United States, and how he could raise awareness and do his part, do his due diligence, I guess, on what he wanted to do. And this is what he chose to do. And instead of people really kind of dissecting why he chose to do this, they're dissecting what he's doing, which we realized we kind of came to the terms with. I think that's what our friend was saying whenever I kept seeing his comment of, like, who cares, in all caps, with a question mark. And I was like, I care. I care that he's doing this. I'm glad that he's doing this. Why don't you care? And you kind of talked me down with, maybe he's saying, this shouldn't be news. We need to be talking about sports during this time. It's football. And we do need to raise awareness of what's going on. And injustice. It needs to be done on a different platform. So maybe he's thinking, you know, everyone's hijacking football and other sports because of this he's taking a knee thing, and it should be like, oh, this guy's protesting peacefully. Let's move on to sports. Like, let's, you know, instead of constantly talking about how he's unpatriotic and needs to leave and blah, 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 basically utterly just being racist about the reasons why. So that's what we were talking.
Right, yeah. You and I, you know, discussed it, and I think one of the things that you brought up was Sean King, which, and I guess he's a person, he's not an issue, but he's a journalist, and he posts a lot of things. Cause it's, well, and interesting, as a football fan, when I hear the name Sean King, I think of actually another former quarterback who they played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and yeah, he's huge now. Like he's definitely he was like my size when he, you know, and I weigh about 180, 178, and now he's like 220, 230 since he stopped playing football. And okay. I hear Sean King,
no,
I think
I'm
of him.
About Sean King. He's a New York journalist. He's a senior justice writer for the New York Daily News. And I am not a huge, I know I'm in the entertainment business, but my goal is kind of to stay off of social media. I don't, I follow people on Twitter and I follow people on Instagram, but I'm not necessarily the one to retweet or tweet out and blah, blah. That's just not necessarily how I define my social media status. But I love looking up and love following someone who takes the time to be an actual journalist. And, you know, I come from a broadcasting background and I have issues with what we call journalism now, and where people are finding their information. And it's good to get your quick fix on what's going on in the world, but then I think you also need to do your due diligence of researching more of whatever tugs at your heartstrings, of like whatever 5 second cute news outlet that just gave you, you know, their news for the day, then go beyond that and actually research a little bit more about what just happened, what you just read. And Sean King does a really good job with this injustice and this Black Lives Matter movement, and actually figure out what it's all about.
Yeah.
And how people hijack it and turn it into something a little, you know, there's all these different videos that come out, and he tries to dissect it a little bit more and keep following it. Because people are forgetting that Colin Kaepernick is taking a knee, not because white cops are shooting black unarmed men. It goes beyond that. It's cops across the board doing something a little that's nowhere else, that we can find anywhere else in the world, where we are dying way too much. And criminals, I get, shoot people. I get that. They shoot and kill people all the time. But I think the police needs to be able to de-escalate that situation and actually get back to having these trials and having these situations come to light where we're using our judicial system.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing justice for these murders, for these out-and-out, whether or not this person was guilty or not, we'll never know because he's dead now, situations that are happening.
Yeah, just kind of piggybacking on that, one of the things that I've, just being on social media, a trend that, as a, you know, English professor, that kind of annoys me is, I think a lot of times the story is in the title, and then I think what people are supposed to do is to read the title, or like this, or a little blurb, and then get mad, and then share it with or comment on it without actually reading what the article says.
Right, it used to be right. You're right.
Because when you read the article, oftentimes the blurb that was meant to get you to click on the article is misleading. All right, true.
Right.
And so it'll be. I feel like that happens at times.
Well, for me, coming from a broadcasting background, that's the lead-in. That's to additionally read, but now we have a 5-minute attention span, no one wants to read as much as people want to share and get the word out, but their credibility starts lacking if they're sharing misleading information and not going beyond those 7 to 10 words in order to get you hooked in the first place to click. It's all about clickbaiting, and not necessarily how do you get involved in my issue is that I told my husband, and I'm hinting towards my family right now, that I wanted a Colin Kaepernick jersey. I want to be able to wear that and, you know, have those types of conversations and be okay with it. It's difficult to really get into those heavy situation types of conversations in a workplace or social setting just kind of out of the blue. But if I had that jersey or if I had that Black Lives Matter pin or something of that nature where people can kind of be like, oh, this is what she's all about. I don't want it to necessarily just be on social media. For me, I think that's a scaredy cat kind of way to engage a little, to kind of show this is what I am, but I'm behind, you know, a keyboard, so to speak. So, I don't know. I don't want my electronic footprint necessarily to just be about this one situation. And then, you know, I just didn't want that. I didn't want to show videos of unarmed Black men or Black men in general just getting shot, and then the next minute pose a cute cat video. It just seems weird, really weird, unbalanced to me. So I use my social media for entertainment and feel good, and not for political, this is what, you know.
Right, yeah, because I think one of I think when people use their social media just for politics, it's usually woefully one-sided to the point to where you, even if you generally agree with them, you tend to have to be like, this person is so into it and so invested that they maybe they're too emotionally involved and they don't think clearly. But then again, you don't want to be one of those people who just talks about so many different things that it's almost like too much of a hodgepodge.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I have a couple of friends who do that, and I like them for it. And they're really good about, they're very conscious about what they're sharing and everything. So I get that. I just know I didn't want to look back on a bunch of stuff that I've shared or written, and it's just kind of all over the place. Or you're right, one-sided or heavily sided with one particular situation. So I don't know, but I do want to check out football games a little bit more now and figure out who also is taking a knee during national anthems. And Sean King is doing a really great job of spreading high school sporting events and who's taking a knee during the national anthem, and college sporting events and who's taking a knee of the national anthem, to raise awareness for this particular movement and history in the making that we're doing right now, that I hope is just opening the door of dialogue and talking about it. And this election is really bringing out some vile, hateful words that hopefully will go away come November. But I don't know. That's me. That's my wishful hopefulness coming out. So
well, it's interesting that you know, like all of this has sort of made you want to do more, because I recently read this book, The Chocolate War, which is about football. Have you heard of it?
I have not heard of it.
I remember seeing it in bookstores. It's it was written during the mid 80s. By Robert Cormier, but it's about a football player at this at a Catholic high school who he's supposed to do this fundraising where you would go door to door and sell chocolate, like candy bars. Remember, we would do that.
Yeah, we used to do that.
Well, one kid refuses to do it, and then it catches on, and then he becomes almost like this hero. Among other students, And, you know, I almost said spoiler alert, but I feel like if a book is 30 years old, you know, I have to say, but like, he ends up.
He was a dead ghost all along.
Yeah. He was in the imagination of the principal. No, what happened was he ends up getting beaten up pretty badly by one of his fellow students. In sort of an orchestrated attempt to try to discredit him. So, well, and it's interesting because I read it last week for the PhD class that I'm taking. That I'm all, okay. You know, and so it was interesting because you and I were talking about Colin Kaepernick. Then I read The Chocolate War, which is very much the lead character, Jerry Renault, is like you can read it and make a lot of parallels to Colin Kaepernick. Gotcha. You could probably even make, because while I was like taking a break reading it, a commercial, a preview for Snowden came on as well. And so you could kind of make that parallel as well. So I guess it's just an example of literature or life. I don't want to say literature imitating life because the book came out first, but I imagine Cormier drew upon, you know, growing up during the 60s and things like that.
Right.
You know, so it's almost.
They're continuously happening. History is repeating itself, so to speak, or you can just always find these parallels in different parts of your life. I get that. And it's interesting that you brought that up because it is like we're shooting the messenger, so to speak, of like, let's not talk about why Colin's taken a knee. Let's talk about Colin. Let's discredit him. Let's like and people are like stop comparing him to Muhammad Ali because he doesn't have Muhammad Ali credits or credentials as an athlete to be a part of this. And I thought that was interesting because I didn't know where Colin was on the roster. I just knew he was a professional footballer. And I think it takes guts or balls or whatever you want to say. To do this during preseason, not knowing if you're going to get cut or not.
Well,
I think that elevates his seriousness of the cause. Why people are like automatically.
Well, some people have been arguing the opposite that.
Oh, wait, really? Go ahead, tell me.
Well, the fact that he's getting ready, that there's a chance he could get cut. I actually thought he was going to get cut by the 49ers before all this happened. And the fact that some people think that maybe he started doing it because he was going to get cut.
And now that he's gotten a bunch of, like, just attention, cameras rolling on it?
Well, because he was the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, I want to say 3 years ago. And he's kind of, I mean, he fell off a cliff pretty quickly.
From what reason? Just
honestly,
athleticism or so, like, just
I have no idea. It seemed like he didn't really progress as a player the way that he should have. It happens to a lot of quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks that run a lot. They come into the NFL and they do really well really early. And then when coaches get game film on you, get game tape, and they understand your tendencies, and they take away the things you like to do on the field, then in a couple years, if your game hasn't evolved, then you become a liability.
As a former athlete myself, I would say that kind of falls on the coaches as well to try to get that turn their player around, but. I do see what you're saying. That's interesting. And my husband used to be in PR, so you can actually spin that way as well. He kind of kept himself relevant enough to not get cut.
Yeah.
Or he wanted to go out with a bang, so to speak, and this is something that he spoke highly of. But either way, it was smart. It was smart. On my end, as a black woman who is talking to her husband right now about wanting to have children and would like to do that, and this is actually hitting home for me, who wants to raise young black boys, young intelligent, beautiful black boys, who I feel like would kind of get a bad rap in that situation of whether or not we're trying to figure out if a black boy who wants to play football or something, who's that big, is 13 or 23 or 33 or 44 when cops can't tell the difference and blah, blah, blah. So little things like that, I'm like, oh, this is kind of tugging on like what is making me nervous. I think maybe even a year ago, this may not have been that high priority on my list of like what's going on in the world. Yes, I get it. But then some football players taking a knee, okay, like whatevs. But now I'm like, oh no, what's...
Well, let me ask you, I kind of want to go back to the Muhammad Ali comparison. Do you think it matters that he's not a starting quarterback? Like, would it be better if he were more of a, you know, a star or more of a leader on his team? Or, you know what I mean? Like, go ahead.
No, because I think he could get the same amount of attention and the same amount of negativity. White people don't want to be called racist. That's a little issue with them. And I think if he was freaking Michael Jordan, people would come out of the woodworks and be like, why, you know, I'm starting to burn his jersey. I'm going to burn blah, blah, blah. I don't think those people would change their minds on that.
No, I agree. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Jordan, because when I heard that Kaepernick was kneeling during the national anthem, the first thing that I thought of was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, played for the Denver Nuggets during the 90s. Formerly Chris Jackson, who played, he was a point guard at LSU, and he was an NBA player who refused to stand for... Initially, he refused to stand for the national anthem, and then he relented. What he would do is he would just pray. Like, he stood... But you probably find videos of it online. He would have his hands to his face, and he would just pray.
Really?
Yeah. And, okay. Well, anyway, his career kind of, I mean, really took a hit. It wasn't very long until he was out of the league, and then, you know, he played in Turkey for a while. And then he got back into the NBA very briefly before retiring. But,
okay. But why did he take a knee?
Honestly, it's the same. He's talking a little bit about the stuff Kaepernick was talking about, but I think he was doing it more in sort of a global sense. I think he was protesting not domestic brutality, but more of what the United States was doing abroad militarily.
But it does sound specific, like he was doing something possibly specific, and maybe we just we're not touching on it. Because I feel like Colin...
No, I think, yeah, Colin has been much more, I think he's been much more vocal, and I think, you know, this was, I mean, the internet was around, but it was definitely not what it is now, and so,
right.
I think, I don't know if Raul did nearly as many interviews, and did nearly as many, you know, had nearly
right.
as many opportunities and platforms to respond, I think there was a little bit of that going on.
And this is very heightened now because it's an election year, and I think we are a little bit more socially conscious about what everyone's thinking. I know what offends everybody because I can see it. It's in my face all the time, yada, 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 compared to maybe during his stance of the reason why. Like, I would not have known that if I didn't follow sports. I could still follow the news and click off the sports, like, whenever it hits sports section.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless it was in my face socially, like, social media-wise, certain things probably may not have gotten out the way it would have.
Yeah.
So... I think it's interesting because I think there is an article out there. I need to find out who talks about, like, who all has protested peacefully by, like, kneeling and what their protests were about. Because ultimately it's about something. And why is Colin Kaepernick's one everyone's talking about? It's because it's a heightened time right now. This election is scary. You know, both parties have pretty much, one party really failed us, and one we're like, okay, this is politics. This is what we have. And I know you talked me down a little bit more, because in my head I'm like, I don't know what to expect. Once again, you go into a voting booth anonymously, and you vote. And if you were smart, you don't tell people who you're voting for, and that's kind of scary to me with our selections of what we got. So, but you talked me down. You said, have no fear, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have no fear.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, my point is, because as an undergrad, I was an English and history major, and I feel like at least once in every American's lifetime, there's an election that you feel like the fate of the world is at stake, and if the person you're going for loses, then everything is just going to collapse and fall on itself. And, I just think that...
I remember, you said that. And then my issue is that this gives too much credibility to... I don't know the negative word. I'm trying my hardest not to say anything too crazy negative, but there's an evilness that used to kind of be undercover, so to speak, behind closed doors that now they're being a little bit more vocal about it. And I think if their candidate wins, it's going to get worse and not better. And not necessarily from a Supreme Court justice and law rules, it's everyday life kind of, hey, look at us, we're kind of back on top, and then it's just a huge step back. It's going to be another huge step back. Even though the Republican Party knows it's a huge step back, and yet they're still piggybacking on it. So I'm not going to worry about it. You're right. I am worrying about things, and this is my election where I'm extremely worried, and I've never had to worry before, probably because I think deep down I thought both candidates are crooked politicians, but they are also decent human beings.
You mean in past elections? Right,
yeah,
I got
and
you.
And I don't feel that way here, especially about one over the other. So we shall see. Come November.
Yeah. Yes. Are you going to watch the debates on Monday?
I'm going to watch a little bit of it. The debates for me are interesting, and this is going to be kind of a train wreck. I'm very negative when it comes to these things, so I don't know if I want to watch it while it happens or just, you know, watch the highlights. I feel like I'll throw in the SportsCenter. I don't need to watch the game. I'll just tune in to SportsCenter later and watch the highlight reels and the awesome commentary after that.
Well, have you seen... you may have seen this. I just was looking up because I want to make sure I get it right. You may have seen it just because of social media, but the daily. If you type in Daily Show Trump Rally...
Okay, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, just look at the most recent one. I feel like that'll it may make you laugh and cry a little more.
I know which one you're talking about.
Oh, you've seen it. Okay, you've seen it.
I think I have seen it.
Where the guy is like, he's mad at President Obama because he was out of the Oval Office during 9/11. He's like, where was he? You know, I want to get to the bottom of that. You've seen that, okay. Yeah.
I will play devil's advocate in saying that going to any of the Hillary supporter rallies as well, you can find the lowest of the low in the intellectual poll for those things, but this one does take the cake.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I'm sure you could probably find some Hillary supporters who thinks that the Trump kids are hunting dinosaurs, so... Yeah, it could probably go both ways for sure. So,
well, I told my parents this. I was like, the Republican Party failed us in trying to even. I don't even want to know anything negative about Hillary Clinton because I don't have a choice. Republicans did not give me a choice. I am a woman. I am black. I am almost middle aged here in Los Angeles. I try my hardest to say I'm not middle aged. So I they did not give me any other choice. I know we are all about a two party system. Hopefully we can. Clearly that doesn't work, and we need to change that. And we should change that in a non election year. But I don't. I already know Hillary Clinton. I don't need to know anything negative about Hillary Clinton because there's no other choice for me out there. And I feel like a lot of Donald Trump supporters say the same thing about him, but I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think that they would stay on that bandwagon clearly because they're registered Republican and that's it. No mm-hmm. other reason. Where I feel like me as a registered Democrat didn't necessarily always swing that way when come election year of me trying to figure out where I was. I was more like that locally during local elections, but presidential elections, I really did try to figure out where I wanted to cast my ballot, and I can't do that this time. I there's no reason for comedians to go after Hillary Clinton because Donald Trump shouldn't even be an issue, and it is, so... I'm glad that they, basically what I'm saying is, I'm glad that they don't show me